Sometimes when we read the scriptures, they don't necessarily come alive to us because we weren't in that situation or in that predicament or couldn't comprehend the reasoning behind what went on in the certain situation that we're reading. And sometimes we've heard it or read it so many times that we just read right through it. And this boat that they're on, it's not a large boat. It's not a huge boat. It's actually a boat that could easily capsize if there's huge wind. It's a boat that could squeeze in probably about 13 people, but that would be a tight fit. So we are going to talk about the counselor. And what does that even mean for us day to day? If you've ever been in a counseling session, a lot of the session is about questions. Questions are posed to you. And questions are posed after the question is asked, another question is asked, and then another question is asked. And a lot of times we go into a counseling session looking for answers, right? But in reality, that counseling session is to try to allow us to find the answers ourselves rather than for us to come to the realization of all the answers in one sitting, right? And a lot of times we have a lot of baggage that we need to deal with prior to, and we never dealt with it, so that counseling session may go on for quite a while. There's a lot of people that say that, I'll never go to counseling. I know everything, right? Well, we're going to have a few questions we're going to be wrestling with over the next few weeks. And the first one is, why are you so afraid? The next one is, do you believe I can do this? And then, do you want to be well? And why do you doubt? These are questions that all of us should ask or pose in our lives when we follow after Christ. Do you believe I can do this? Do we actually believe that God can do whatever it is in our life that it seems insurmountable? Do we really want to be well? When Jesus walks and talks with people, we see him healing people. We see him asking questions, but sometimes we say we want to be well, but we don't really want to be well. Because we've held on to the things for so many years that we can't release them. And we can't discover the healing that really needs to take place in our life. So that question would be asked, do you want to be well? And we would say, absolutely. But in reality, we just keep clinging and hanging on and holding on and not letting go so God can really move and work in our lives. The other question is, why do you doubt? I think there's a lot of times in our lives that we have heavy doubts, whether it be about God, whether it be about a situation, whether it be about God being able to overcome, help us overcome a situation that we don't know that could actually ever be overcome. And then we start doubting God. Well, before we read the text this morning, let's pray. Lord, illuminate our minds to your truth. Your spirit is the counselor. I ask that you illuminate our minds and our hearts to what you need us to hear this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Why are you so afraid? Have you ever asked that question? Maybe some of you have phobias. Maybe some of you have these things that whenever you look at something, it bothers you. I was reading an article this morning about a baseball player. They asked him 20 questions. He's a new player on the Red Sox named Mookie. You may have heard of him. They said, what are you afraid of? You know what he said he's afraid of? Rust. Is anybody in here afraid of rust? Well, he's afraid of rust. He said it really freaks him out. So that's not what this is talking about, but people can be afraid of all different things. But Jesus poses this question, why are you afraid? And at first, I'm sure it baffled them. How could you not be afraid? Look at the storm. Look at the waves. Look at the boat shaking. We're about to go under. How can I not be afraid? Let's read. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. How'd you like that? Jesus on the stern, in the back of the boat. The stern is the back of the boat. He's sleeping on a cushion. So he's sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." I really don't know what it means to rebuke. "You dumb waves, what are you doing? Stop it, wait," right? I don't know what the rebuke there really means, but maybe the rebuke was in his tone. And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Mark 4:35 through 41. I think some of us in here have heard that text and read that text for years and years and years, and we've never really processed what's going on here. There's two things to remember when you're in the storm. Have you ever thought of what you need to really remember when you're in a storm? Well, the first thing is this. You're in the storm with his presence. The next time a storm comes your way, a life storm comes your way, remember that you're in the storm with his presence. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's there with you through everything. Everything that you come in contact with in your life that's hard, that's difficult, that's a storm. When you're in the eye of the storm and then you think it's all good, but then boom, you get hit again. He's with you. His presence is with you. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. See, even when we don't sense his presence, because they didn't sense his presence, they started panicking, right? Even though Jesus was present with them, Jesus was right there. He was physically there with them. And they could not grasp that Jesus was there. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be fearful. But we can't help but be fearful because what else do we do? We're afraid. We forgot about Jesus. And then somebody remembered and runs over and says, "Jesus, wake up," right? Freaking out, "Jesus, wake up." In the back of the boat, I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of the boats from about 2,000 years ago in that region. There's a little shelf-like thing in the back where likely that's where Jesus was, under the shelf, sleeping on the cushion. But Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Jesus is in our heart. And we may not sense in a moment, in certain moments, that he's there, but he's there. If we're in Christ, he's in us. And if he's in us, then we have nothing to fear. Nothing is ever too difficult for God. Nothing is ever too big. Things seem too big for us. Seem too challenging. The obstacles seem too stressful and too strenuous. But nothing is too big for God. Did you hear that? I don't think we heard that. This is really simple stuff. Nothing is too big for God. I use these simple words because it's a simple concept. And it's a concept that we often forget. You are in the storm with his presence. Whatever storm we face, we are in the presence of God. The second thing, you're in the storm for his purposes. Have you ever thought about that? That the storm that comes in your life, And this is very difficult. There's no way I could ever figure this out, and you can't figure it out either. Did God allow the storm, or did he bring the storm? Have you ever asked that question? God, why? You've probably asked the question, why? There's a reason for the storm, whether God brought it or he allowed it to happen. Whether he caused it in your life or it's something that he just said, all right, that can happen. Whatever it is, however it's taking place, whenever you find yourself in that, you're in the storm for his purposes. You can learn, you can grow, you can flourish. The problem is, some of us, when we hit the storm, we retreat and decline from our faith and go in the opposite direction from where God would have us go. That storm is there for a reason. Embrace the storm. This sounds hard. Embrace the storm and move forward with purpose, because you're in the storm for that purpose, for his purpose. His purposes will ultimately be fulfilled when we venture through the storm and are victorious. And sometimes a storm may seem like it drags on for 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, right? God, how do I ever get through this storm? How can I persevere? How can I endure? Lord, allow me to be a person of faith that can truly venture through the storm and come out victorious, because there is a purpose, there is a reason for this storm, whatever it may be. The next time you're in a storm, or you may be in a storm right now, and you may be handling it completely wrong, but whatever that storm is, whatever that storm looks like, may your focus be on God and recognize that his purposes will be fulfilled through that storm, whatever they look like. And we've got to embrace that and say, all right, God, I don't know how to persevere. I don't know how to endure this. But God, I want to be faithful to you and commit to you in the midst of this storm. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 1, 2 through 4. You hear that? You know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. When our faith is tested, and we will learn perseverance and endurance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So there's this, some of us are very immature in our faith, and God needs to allow us to go through these times in order for us to grow and persevere and endure and learn. And believe me, I know that in the time of struggle and difficulty and challenging, that it's not an easy thing. It's never easy. But maybe we're getting called to a higher level of maturity. Maybe God wants us to be able to be more impactful in whatever ministry he has for us. Maybe God desires us to learn and grow and become people that aren't satisfied with this mediocre embrace of Christian living that we have formed in our culture. Maybe there's something significantly greater and deeper and richer and more incredible than we could ever fathom. Maybe your physical pain is more than you can endure. Maybe there's a psychological pain that you're dealing with that you haven't shared with anybody. Maybe there's grief and strife in your life that has overcome you in such a way that you don't know how you're going to persevere and endure. There's a purpose. There's a reason. And there will be beauty someday. And it may not even be in this lifetime, but the growth will come in this lifetime if we allow it. Be joyful always. Imagine in the midst of that horrible situation or that difficult challenge that you find pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, in trials of many kinds. What if we really process that and allow that to be embedded in our heart? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now Jesus was somebody that they were able to walk with, talk with, share with, hang around the fire with. They saw miraculous signs and wonders performed by Jesus, but they freaked out. And then after their freakout session, Jesus calms the storm, and then they go, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, who is this?" Do you remember in Scripture a little ways down the line where Jesus is standing in front of Peter, and what does he say? "Who do you think that I am?" "Well, ultimately you're the Messiah, right?" He calls him out, says, "You don't know who I really am." Talks about the love. And he's not talking about agape love when he says, "Well, I love you, you know I love you, you know I care about you." Really, do you? Do we? Why are we always so afraid? I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I can fear no evil, fear no one. Did you hear what it said? I can walk, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, I will fear no one, for God is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. It doesn't say there's not going to be any valleys, there's not going to be any difficulties, there's not going to be any struggle. But it does say, I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, for God is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. You see, the ultimate shepherd is looking out for us in the midst of the valley where the wolves are trying to devour us. And sometimes there's wolves in sheep's clothing. God's going to carry us through. He's going to take care of us. He's going to allow us to endure. Because our God is more powerful than the enemy that tries to come against us. I don't think you heard that one. Our God is more powerful than the enemy that comes against us. So what does it mean? What does this, the counselor, mean? What does it mean to sit before the counselor? Well, more often than not, more frequently than not, what Jesus does when he's confronted with a question, what does he do? He throws a question right back. The reason being is because he wants people to think more deeply. I think what we've done a lot of us have done in the church, universal in America, is we've just watered it down and we've said, "Well, this is what we believe, and yep, that's all." And we've forgotten that we need to gain knowledge, we need to gain wisdom, and we've just checked the knowledge thing, and we've thrown it out the window, and we've become satisfied with this watered-down belief system. Don't you want to know more? Don't you think you can grow more? We don't have all the answers. May we be a people that aren't satisfied, but are desiring more knowledge, gaining more wisdom, and growing in faith and knowledge of God. And yes, seeking the counsel of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, and also seeking the counsel of brothers and sisters that have come before us so we can become more mature in the faith. And when those storms come, when the swell mounts over the boat and we're about to sink, may we say, "Jesus, I'm sorry I forgot about you, but I know you're here. Allow the storm to calm so I can follow you more wholly." Instead of, "Oh, Jesus, why is this happening? I'm confused. I'm so frustrated." Oh. We become whiners instead of followers. We become wimps instead of warriors. God doesn't want us to be wimps. Meek doesn't mean wimp. Meek means humble.
Meek means being open to what God has. Don't be weak, be meek. Don't be a wimp, be a warrior. When you face struggles, turn it over to God. Don't pile it upon yourself over and over again so it becomes so heavy that it's more weight than you can bear. And when it becomes more weight than you can bear, hear God, take it. Take my life and let it be consecrated all to thee. Lord, take everything so I can be consecrated to you. I want to be yours and yours alone. Right? So the reality of the counselor is that the counselor is right here. The counselor won't leave us. In the midst of the storms and the difficulties and the challenges and the obstacles, God will enable us to truly overcome. Amen.